I want to talk to you about the promised land, but I want to talk to you a little bit about the giants today, because, you know, when you talk about the promised land, you talk about promise and all the good things, but one of the major things that happens in the promised land is the displacement of giants. You have to encounter them. You have to overcome them. That is part of the promised land. You can't be an inheritor without overcoming the giants. And I want to talk to you about what they mean and the various ways that we overcome. Well, let's begin in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not carnal. They don't originate here. So they originate in another realm, which means we're going to have to learn about this other realm, how this works. "Mighty through God, though." Say, "They're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds." I'm going to give you the definition the Lord gave me of strongholds. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in every thought in captivity of Christ." Now, this is the definition the Lord gave me this morning of strongholds. Here's a stronghold. Systems of thoughts empowered by emotions, influenced by the demonic atmospheres and darkness of this world system, that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ in you, to you, and through you. When we talk about giants in the promised land, before you're going to take on a giant out there, you better take on the ones in here. Now, I understand that you are born again. Your spirit is born again. But there are things that are in our soul, mind, will, emotional faculties, heart, body. And those sometimes encase strongholds. And those strongholds have to be overcome progressively. You're not going to overcome them all at one time. I don't care who you are. You're not going to overcome all at one time. We overcome gradually. Amen. We overcome as we grow. You'll be quite interested to know what all lives down into the soul. So I'm going to say it again. Strongholds. Here's the definition. Systems of thoughts. The way you think. Filtration mechanisms. The way you hear, think. Now, I know everyone in here thinks that you think right. And I know everyone in here thinks that you're never wrong. But the fact is that there are things, there are patterns in the way we think that produce fruit in our life. There is patterns in the way we behave, behavior patterns, systems of thoughts, empowered by emotions and behavior patterns, influenced by the demonic realm of darkness that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Those strongholds, now just because you have a situation like you might, let's say you got angry. That doesn't mean you have a stronghold of anger. But if you get angry all the time, you probably got a stronghold of anger. And most likely that is anger always is a fruit of something else. You got to find out what's going on there. If you got continuous issues in an area, there's a stronghold. I'm going to awaken you all to a truth here. There is not a single perfect. But the original lie was that you're supposed to be perfect. If you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God, perfect. We're not. We're imperfect people serving a very perfect God. Amen? But we are perfect in Christ. In our positional standing, we're very perfected in Him. It's getting that standing over into where we are is the battle. How do we enter into change? We have to accept the fact we need it first. And so, before I go any further with that, I want to go into something I had researched a long time ago. Go to Deuteronomy 7. I'm going to share also something today. I kind of were led into it. I'll call stumbled into it, but it was probably the most transformative operation that I have ever been a part of thus far. We ministered on this a couple weeks ago, Threshing Floor. What causes that to be initiated is something else altogether. The threshing floor is one of the greatest transformational operations in the body of Christ, or heavenly places. When the Bible says that he comes, he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, that fire that he's baptizing you with is not the kind of fire that you talk about having Holy Ghost and fire in a service, you know. Well, fire, that's, you know, being on fire for God. That's not the kind of fire he's talking about. Even though there is that kind of fire. You want that fire because you come alive on, how many of you here on fire for God, you know, you're burning for God. Hallelujah. This is a different kind of burning. It says Holy Ghost and fire. He says he baptized the Holy Ghost and the winnowing fork. He talks about that fire. He says the winnowing fork is in his hand. Now, a winnowing fork is an instrument they used to separate chaff from the wheat. And they did it in the threshing floor. They had to separate that outer chaff from the golden wheat. Just like us, we have a pure golden wheat in our spirit, man. And you got chaff that has, don't you wish we could just get born again and it'd been it? I mean, we got born again, and a lot of times when we were born again, there are certain things that just disappeared. How many of you just immediately got delivered the day you're born again of certain things, and then other things didn't? I mean, why did you leave these things over here and you took this thing? You're under that. Am I the only one ever under? Because we're called to overcome. I mean, if you didn't have a battle, what would you need to overcome? We're called to overcome. We're called to grow and develop. So the winnowing fork is in his hand, separating chaff from the wheat. Then he says he burns the chaff with the unquenchable fire. That's the baptism of fire. That's the threshing floor. That is an operation of God. You have to be prepared for that. That's not just going to fall on you. That can go on for days. That operation can remove generational strongholds from your behavior pattern, from the way you think. It can radically transform you to who you started with. You're a whole nother person when he's done. But you have to be ready for that. And there's something that actually makes that happen more and more, and I'll share that with you. But let's look at a few things on the giants first. So Deuteronomy 7. See if any of you will relate today, because it's really cool, because I did a whole study on all these giants one time, and I had to go pull it up. Deuteronomy 7, 1, verse 1 says, "And when the Lord thy God brings you in the land whither you goest," how many of you are going to enter the promised land? How many of you are promised land people? Are you you want to stay in the wilderness? But in the wilderness, they didn't encounter giants in the wilderness. They encountered a few issues, but the giants were in the promised land. Isn't that good news? You got to get ready to deal with the giants. When we move in the promised land, you got to deal with the giants. And these giants are not the ones 13 foot tall walking around the earth. They're the ones 3,000 feet tall walking out inside of you. And he says, when you go to possess and have cast out many nations before thee, and he names them Hittites, Gergesites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater than thyself. He's going to have you overcome things that are greater than your capacity to overcome. Because your weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You don't overcome by discipline. Discipline just hides it. Some people are better disciplined. I had a message one time on Jack Daniels versus Mary Poppins. Jack Daniels couldn't, when you're a Jack Daniels kind of guy and you get born again, you're a Jack Daniels kind of guy when you're born again. It's like you were, Jack Daniels couldn't keep anything to himself. I mean, he let it all hang out all the time, right? He had no discipline. That's why he was Jack Daniels. So when he gets born again, some of that character goes over. He has no control over himself. Then you got the people who know how to control their environment. They can control certain things, but that don't mean it's not there. They just know how to control it. Some people are better in controlling things than better than not controlling. It doesn't matter either one. The stuff is still there. Whether you can cover it or not, it's still there. The thing about this is when you're after the glory of God, when you're in the gift realm of God, God will anoint you for a lifetime with all that stuff. I know. He anointed me a long time with a whole bunch of stuff. But when you're after the glory realm, it's different because you're moving into a realm of glory and light. Everything about your walk with God, everything about the anointing on your life will come out of that realm. And that realm is light. So all this stuff that's hidden, the Bible says there's nothing hidden that will not come to surface. There are things hidden that you can't see. Stuff packed down. Anybody ever compressed situations? Trauma compressed. Childhood trauma compressed. Childhood rejection compressed. You compress that in places. It's like a big trash compactor. It gets compressed. Your soul can compress things. And there's a lot of realms it can get compressed in. And you can go on. Have you ever heard of get over and go on? Well, you can get over and go on and live, but that stuff is still there. And after a while, the trash compactor gets filled. So it can't press anymore. Now it's got to come out. And when it comes out in behavior patterns, in emotions that are highly contradictory, that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of Christ. I want to be better sometimes. I want to change. When I get in the anointing, I feel like I'm changed. How many, when you're in church, I feel so good, and then you go back out there, and all of a sudden that stuff starts operating again. It comes out. It's coming from somewhere. It's coming from a tree down there. Everything starts with a seed. Everything starts and it grows over time. The word starts with a seed. It can grow too. It's all about seeds and trees. Which tree is going to dominate in your life? The old tree with the old patterns, the old systems, the old behaviors, or the tree God's trying to build? I remember one time when he gave me this message on seeds and trees, and I saw the word of God. Because the Bible says when the word of God comes in, it's the least of all things. I'm like, how can you say the word of God is the least of all things when you exalt it above your own name? Because it says, when it entereth in, it's the least of all things. Because it's entering in as a seed. And I saw one time there was this seed, it was planted, and had this little bitty, like, plant came out of the ground, but there's these full-blown 100, have you seen the oak trees, the 100-year oak trees? Sprawling branches, been there a long time. And all of a sudden they were all, there's five huge oak trees around this seed, and they would take their limbs and they would swat at it. I saw it in a vision. And it was enduring all this stuff because it wasn't as big as they were. But the Spirit of the Lord said, that seed can become so mighty to overcome all of those. And in the end, it will displace every one of those and become a tree of life in itself. But it's a journey. That's why we transform and change over time as we grow in the Lord. He's not going to leave you the same. Well, grace covers. Yes, grace will cover. Grace is an amazing friend that walks beside you. Grace, there's forgiveness. Grace, there's help. Grace is there, but it teaches you ultimately to deny it and overcome it. Not just cover it for a lifetime. That's not what grace is about. Grace is about your transformation. The great friend that comes alongside you. That will forgive you. Because you need a lot of it at times. There are times we don't need any, and then there's a time we need a whole lot. And when we get closer to God, you're going to need more and more and more. Because all the stuff that was hidden starts comes to light. When you talk about wanting revival and talking about wanting the glory of God, you're also talking about a transformation, because light comes with all that, a realm and a glory that comes with it that exposes things that you could have walked with before, but now suddenly they're mandated for change. Transformation is a part of this process. That's why when we go in the promised land, overcoming the giants and what they represent. All the ites. The ites have to go. And then you got the other ones. Anak, or if you're in Texas, it's Anak. We can continue. So let me just tell you a few what these ites mean. All these words have meanings. Hebrew meanings. Pretty interesting. Hittites. It comes from a Hebrew word, katath. It means to break down by violence, by confusion, in fear, to affright, to make afraid, discourage, to cause despair, to scare, to terrify. It's fear. Strong man of fear. Fear, you wouldn't believe. A lot of times when you see very controlling personalities, you won't realize it, but what's actually governing all that? The real strong man is not that strong, overpowering, domineering person. That was something built by a spirit of fear to protect from years and years of rejection and abuse. People develop protector personalities. They become controlling for a reason. You can't get close to them. They're very domineering for a reason, because they're protecting something else. Most of the time, behind all that is fear. Intimidation. Very frail person. Spirit. You think fear is a frail spirit, it's the number one strong man there is. It's the first thing that came in at the fall. We were afraid. Fear is not just the fear you think. Fear has protection mechanisms. Manifest in anxiety and all that kind of thing. Paranoia. Fear, if you ever get down to fear, you're getting down there. When God says perfect love will cast out fear. So we transform with God. Now, I want to say this before I go any further. We're not to go looking for what's wrong with us. Trust me. The purifier, refining fire, the dross will come up. Just walk with God and it will come up. If you walk with God and you're close to God, your stuff will rise. It will be seen by you, whether you want to recognize it or not, and it'll be seen by everyone around you. And sometimes if you're hard-headed, grandhead, they can't hear you, you can't hear anything anybody's saying. They could be shouting it to you. Because that's another strong man, the granite head. Pride. Pride was the Amorites. They're the mountaineers. Comes from Emore and Amar. To boast, to speak against, to challenge an elevated one. Pride. Woo. Never a proud person you've ever met that can actually admit they're proud. So if you have someone with pride, you're not going to probably be able to tell them. Unless you want a mouthful. You can't convince somebody's in pride. God will convince someone's pride, because God can humble the proud. It's just a matter of time. If you walk with God in a proud spirit, he will deal with that. Better yet, to say, God, get him close to you. Draw him close, God. You want someone to be humbled? Pray for them to draw close to God. It'll be automatic. Can't walk with God with a proud spirit. It's going to become humbled. You cannot walk in an elevated position. You can in the spirit, in knowing who you are. That's a different part. When we talk about going to the mountain, get elevated with God, that's a different kind of elevation. We're not talking about human elevation. We're talking about the God kind of elevation. Human pride, God does not like that. He'll actually set himself against that. How many of you have ever been humbled for a situation? It's just part of it. It's why the strong man. I'll move along. Canaanite. From Cana. Means to bend the knee, humiliate, bring down low. Subjection, subdue. I believe this is speaking of condemnation, guilt, shame. It's meant to humiliate. God doesn't humiliate, he humbles. The enemy humiliates. Humiliation is a part of condemnation, shame, and guilt. These are all straw men. Now, you can go through a situation, have a condemnation, get over it. That doesn't necessarily present itself as a stronghold. But if you live under condemnation, under shame, under guilt, there are people I know that live in constant guilt, constant shame, constant condemnation. That's a stronghold. That can be easily fixed by understanding the blood of Jesus, understanding the exchange, understanding who you are in Christ, receiving. Someone with condemnation doesn't know how to receive. They don't know how to receive forgiveness. They can might forgive somebody else, they can't forgive themselves. That's a hard thing to do if you made some pretty big mistakes, to forgive yourself. I think there's somebody in here I'm speaking to that you're having a hard time forgiving yourself. You got to get with God and receive the blood of Jesus on your own behalf. Easy to preach somebody else the blood, but how about us receiving ourselves? Condemnation is a product of not being able to receive from God. If you can receive from God, he'll fix that pretty fast. But still a stronghold for people. And so, it's one of the giants. I'll keep going. Gergesites. You know what it means? Dwelling on clay soil. They're not on a rock. They have unstable foundation. This is generational dysfunction comes from. It's a Gergesite anointing. I cast out that Gergesite spirit. When you are born again, if you come from a very healthy home and things, and you get born again, all of that will transfer. But you come from a very dysfunctional background that had no footing anywhere, no stability anywhere, that'll all start manifesting too. It comes from that clay foundation. It's very shifty. It moves. It has no solid foundation. We have to grow into that. But part of that, those strongholds will come out of that. That's where that generational stuff comes from. Now, God doesn't pass it down. It just gets passed through. It's behavior patterns. It's things that were learned. Like Jeremy was saying, the curse, Jesus bore it all from top down. Everybody say, I am delivered. I am redeemed. But that dysfunction, when you have a very dysfunctional personality, it's coming from that. And that has to be put on the rock of Christ, on the rock of his word. That's the way you're going to fix anything, really. Right? And so that Gergesite thing can go into areas. It can go business dysfunction, family dysfunction, relational dysfunction. It can go in multiple areas if it's not fixed. Because it's an issue down there. And some of these, they jump into each other's mountains at times. That's what you call legion. Legion is when they all jump in the same boat together. Sometimes they all get interwoven. When you have an interwoven thing, well, we'll just get deliverance. I'll tell you something about deliverance. It's a definitely an evil thing. I had somebody just went to a deliverance seminar. I don't know how they do this, but I gotta figure this out. The guy had a deliverance camp meeting in Cabo San Lucas. They all went to vacation and deliverance. I'm like, how do you do that? I gotta figure out how to do that. Like, let's all go on vacay and we'll on vacay out on the beach, we'll minister deliverance to you in one of the most beautiful places in the world. He said, hey, I got delivered. I'm like, awesome. He goes, I just want to make sure how to keep it. How do I keep it? I'm like, how long do you got? I said, here's the deal. Whatever came out of you built something inside of you. So when you cast a devil out, you don't cast out what he built. You just cast him out. You have to actually cause a transformation, because he builds. When a spirit comes into somebody that's been there a while, it'll build operations. It'll build mindsets. It'll build ways. Systems of thoughts. It's a house, kind of like he built, or a tree. Call it a tree with fruits on it. And so the devil gets pulled out, and deliverance is part of. I'll say this. Somebody said, can a Christian have a demon? A Christian can have 10,000 demons. In the spirit realm, they cannot touch. In your new man, they cannot house themselves there. In fact, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into the house that Christ built, and he inhabits that house. But a spirit can't come in there. A spirit can only occupy mind, will, emotional faculties, or body. That's where they're going to be. And sometimes they can build a house. They can build a nest up in there. When deliverance comes, which is an awesome thing, a lot of influence is breaking. Now you've got to just change and receive the renewing of the mind and truth to renew that self and to walk out of that. So all the behavior patterns associated with it. Because here's the deal. The Bible says when a spirit is cast out of a man, he returns. Because they don't like being without a body. And so they'll return to the house. And if they find it empty, swept, and garnished, he'll bring seven more wicked. Oh, isn't that good news? So I'm like, well, why don't I understand? If the house is empty, swept, and garnished, don't you want to be swept, right? But it was empty. It was void of the word. You have to replace all that with God's word. God needs to build another tree there with a new system, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things, a new way of operating. You see that? So when he comes back, he'll meet the word of God. Amen? So we've got to be responsible with the realm of deliverance. It's a very needful thing. That's where Sozo can help the house and the spirits. Sozo's an awesome tool. Yeah, but Sozo's an amazing, if you haven't done Sozo, you do Sozo. I mean, we have Sozo ministers here. I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have somebody like Sozo I could go to. I had Mama Daisy, but I didn't have a Sozo person. Mama Daisy just started casting stuff out. We'll talk about this later. Come out! And so, when we deal with the deliverance area, we want to make sure we transform the house and not just get the spirit out. Amen? But these giants, these things are giants. They occupy places that God is supposed to occupy. And God wants every one of them displaced. He said, make no covenant with them. Utterly cast them out. All of it. Now, we don't want to become giant conscience. We don't want to become demonic conscience, and we don't want to become old man conscience. We don't want to come like that, because if all I'm doing, you don't change by looking at yourself. Beholding yourself in a mirror, you change from flesh to flesh. That doesn't work like that. We walk with God. We behold him in a mirror, and we're changing the same image of what we're looking at. The more you walk with God, the more he will start displacing things that are in the way. There's a real balance in all this. You don't want to be always just going for deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. There has to be a balance. It's glory to glory to glory. Say glory to glory to glory. But there are going to be times for transformation. There are going to be times for the threshing floor. There's going to be time where God's going to cut the tree down. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, if you know how this works, you can say under the sycamine tree, be plucked up. That's the ones inside of you. That's the old stuff. The stuff's in the way. You just don't know it's in the way. You can't see. We can't see the way God sees. But when he wants you to see it, when it's time to see it, whoa, he has a flashlight. It's 1,000 times brighter than that light right there. And he shines it into your heart. And he shines it upon your ways. And he shines it because your spirit is grown. The word of is grown. You're ready to change and transform in this area. And all of a sudden he shines it and you see it. You don't see it. You see every time it manifested. And the pain that it caused others. And you see it all. And you'll see it in a way that nobody could have ever told you. It's only the way the Lord shows. And sometimes he can take you for days in that. And I'm like, God, will this be over? And it'll be over soon. Rick Joyner, I talked about this a couple of weeks, he wrote a book called The Judgment Seat of Christ. This is what he uses, the threshing floor. It's not a bad thing. Oh, I mean, it's a good thing. But when you're under it, it produces a level of repentance that you just can't manufacture. Because you see it the way he sees it. The way he wants you to see it. You see it in a depth, you see in the depths of really what it is. Because we don't always see it that way. We have a lens, but he takes that lens, sets it aside, and he shows it to you. That level of repentance causes a cleansing down to the foundation. And he does it so thoroughly. The Bible says, the winnowing fork's in hand, he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. And not just purge it thoroughly, say thoroughly. When that happens, you want it to happen, but you also want it to be over as soon as possible. Say, God, please stop. He's not going to stop till he gets what he wants. Because that's graduation time. Graduation comes through transformation. Say graduation through transformation. We grow and he changes. Fundamentally, where people are around just like, something's happened. You don't even have to tell them. People will see it. Everyone's going to go through this. You're going to go through it when you get to heaven or now. Everybody will go before the Lord and give an account of things done. Everybody will go through that whole thing. Here's the difference. If you go through it now, you have time to change it. If you have time to change it, great is your reward. If you go through it then, there's no time to change. You live with that. That goes on into eternity with you. Your reward, your position eternally is set by your ability to overcome. But when we allow the Lord this level of transformation, he says to him, who overcomes, he'll sit with me and rule on my throne. Oh, let's give God glory for that. I want to overcome, but I want to do it his way. I don't want to overcome and then it show up. If he's going to make a change, I want the kind of change that doesn't reappear. I want the thoroughly purging of the threshing floor. I went through something recently. I already talked about this, so I'm not going to talk about it again. But I'm going to share this part. When he was judging this area of my life, and it went on for like 10 days. When he was judging this, it was intense. He is one intense. Everything about the Lord is intense. He's extremely intense. He stood as judge that whole time. He was judging an area he'd been trying to get to a long time. I talked about a couple of weeks. There's narcissism, very hard, complex spirit. How to break that thing down? You just don't get delivered a narcissism. It has multiple areas. It has to be dealt with in phases. It doesn't just get chopped down at one time. He'd been after this thing for a long time. This was the time he was taking the whole tree down. And later on, I'll tell you about, probably not today, but what caused that threshing floor. What actually causes him. But once he starts, he wasn't quitting. I had no idea. I'm like, Lord, what are we doing here? And it was on and on. He went into multiple areas and I didn't think he was ever going to quit. But something happened to me and I want to share this part with you. When he was done, and I felt very undone, he did something I never heard anybody preach on. I never had him do this, show it to me this way. He stepped off the throne and he hung on this tree he was tearing down. the tree had narcissism and all this fruits on this tree. And I saw myself in a vision. I was hung on the tree, and he came and he changed from judge to the innocent lamb. I couldn't believe he could, every way, the intensity of how he judged that situation, knowing everything he judged, he was about to take the penalty for it all. I don't know how to explain that. Words can't explain. It broke me harder than the breaking. The revealing of his love at that level. He said, now I'm going to take the penalty of all this. And I'm going to take this for you. In this vision, it was like crucified with Christ. And he said, now you're going to stand down. And I stepped down, and that whole tree that I just looked at for 10 straight days, he laid on it, and the earth opened up, and he took it down into the belly of hell, and he said, that place you cannot go. You are crucified with me, but you cannot go there. The grave opened, and he swallowed up, and I couldn't contain that kind of love. I don't understand how someone could judge that so thoroughly like that, knowing that they were going to receive the judgment they were judging me for. If that even equates. But for me, because I went through it, and he was so thorough, and then every part he judged, he took upon himself. He went from judge to the lamb, and he swallowed that up. It changed me. It just did. It broke me. It changed me. It changed my relationship with Anna. It just fundamentally transformed. I'll never be the same person. Thank God. Everybody going, hallelujah. To the degree you can only talk about this, because the fear, there's no fear there. I don't care. I mean, like Paul said, it's a light thing to be judged of you. I was judged by the Lord himself. And if you're ever judged by the Lord, man's judgment is very light compared to what his judgment. But the thing I've never seen is the thoroughness by which he judges. He then accepts your penalty and your punishment and the reproach of all your judgments. And he takes all that for you. I just think about that. Every time you judge somebody for something, would you be willing to take the very judgment you're judging them for, the penalty? He took death upon himself. He had to, in righteousness, he had to judge all mankind. Condemned to death, basically. So he judges in righteousness, but out of love, he accepts your judgment. That is a balance that only God can achieve. It's just incredible. It would change anybody. It really would. To go through something like that. But these giants, they all are going to fall. In this last days, the body of Christ is going to find a realm of God that's going to swallow up the whole thing. The realm of life, the tree of life, the day of the resurrection, teaching us how to find it before our time. Well, that's not scriptural. Of course it's scriptural. Look at Enoch. He went way past his dispensation. Look at David and Abraham. They received accounted righteousness when they were under the law. God basically bypassed David. Abraham was before the law, but they bypassed David. David bypassed the operation of the law. He operated like you and I. Because God didn't hold the sin. He didn't account it to him like he was born again. Abraham too, they both operated because they foresaw a dispensation. They foresaw the seed was going to pay the price. They foresaw someone was coming. It was going to open that realm. And God took them over there and they got to operate like it. We foresee the next dispensation. The day of the resurrection. It's going to swallow up sin and death in your body. It's going to swallow up dysfunction in your soul. It's going to swallow up all of these ites. It's going to make us completely whole. We're going to walk eternally whole with resurrection life bursting out from within us. Day in, day out, life will flow through the body, the mind, the soul. You'll live in joy, in peace, pleasure, continuously. Life will be the governor of your heart, mind, body, and emotions. You'll be governed by life eternally. You're made completely whole. That day has already been achieved by Christ. He already entered into that day. Positionally, or he spoke to him he justified. That is, all of us have been justified the blood to those he glorified. That is our day. We learn how to walk over there. Parasites are independence. That's a foul spirit. Jebusites, rejection, depression. Amalekites, human sufficiency, sweat of the brow, toil, labor, and anak, the control. All those ites, all those giants are coming down. Because what I really want to talk about is the realm of glory that's to come. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 3:18, and I found a transformational operation in God greater than the threshing floor. And the threshing floor is pretty awesome. Just for the sake of time, the way you read 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, these are talking about two covenants, or the two glories. The glory that was on Moses, the law, and the glory is upon us, the New Testament. The Old Testament, New Testament. The glory of the law, the glory that's in the law of the Spirit of life, that's in Christ. It's going back and forth talking about these two operations. It says the law that was done away, but the glory that was on Moses' faith, it was veiled. He said that was done away. He goes, how much more will the new glory excel from that other one? If that was glorious, how much will you be? How much is your covenant more glorious? And he gets down into the end of this. For the sake of time, I was going to share more about this chapter, but verse 15, 2 Corinthians 3. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. He said that veil was done away. Actually, Moses, you know, when he went into the temple with God, he went into the manifested glory of God. I want you to actually share what you just said before we close. Just like a 2-3 minute, it'll fit right here. What you were telling me earlier. But when Moses went into the temple, he went into the manifest glory of God. He actually disappeared into the temple. He walked right through the door. And he took the veil off his face during that time, and he beheld God face to face. But when he came out, he put a veil over his face. Because the reason was, he put the veil, is the children of Israel couldn't look steadfastly to the end of that, because that was going to be done away with. But that was a glory for their nation at the time. And so he'd take that veil off. When he go into God's face, now look at our covenant now, and I want to share this part with you. This right here is what we've been talking about with the face of God, Mount of Transfiguration, beholding. Watch what he says here. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Say, we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, not just the Lord, but the glory. Say, the glory. The Mount of Transfiguration glory. The finality of who we are. The finality of what he's done. The finality of what we'll walk in for all eternity. That glory. We all, with open face, we are designed to see and behold and look upon who we are in him. When you see him on the Mount of Transfiguration, you are looking at who you are for eternity. He is holding your perfected image there. When we behold his glory, in fact, he wants you to see his glory. He prayed you to see his glory. He gave you a place to see his glory. That's all in John, but we won't go there today. He said, so we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed, transformed, transfigured, same word, transformed, transfigured into what? The same image, from glory to glory. This is how we're going to change. We are beginning to behold who we are in front of us. Not who I am, but who I am in him. All I got to do is look at him in his glory, and I can be changed. And I know how to do that. But as we do that, as we behold his glory, we are changed into the same image from stage to stage or from glory to glory. It causes a transformation. It sets it in motion. The things that we need the most, the things we want to change, we don't know how to change, he'll set it in motion. What's causing it to set in motion, it's because you're stepping out of where you are into who you are in him in the Mount of Transfiguration. We actually teach how to do this because he's teaching us how to do this. And we stand in that day and we agree, this is who I am, to whom you justified, to me you have glorified. And we speak scripture that speaks of that day. Arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you, O body. The glory is seen upon you. To him who's justified, I have in Christ been glorified. You turn my rock into a standing fountain of water. All these things we start speaking and agreeing, we're seeing and all this thing. We'll get into that later how we do that. But we're learning how to do it. What happens when you do that? Because when you're doing that, you're receiving from another realm, which is causing the realm you're in to be addressed. Because when God sees you standing there, what's he going to do? He's going to call instead of what we try to do is call, bring the kingdom to where we are. God's going to call where you are to where you're standing. You may not hear what I'm saying, but when you stand in this realm long enough, it'll cause God to call you from that realm to where you are in Christ. He'll call you. Who you are. It doesn't matter what you have, what you're clothed in, what kind of stronghold you got. It doesn't matter because your faith is overriding all that. Faith can override you to where God will pull you through the eye of the needle. He says, bring him in. And whatever's not of Christ will immediately be ordered for transformation by the weaponry of our warfare, by life itself that will swallow up death and swallow up strongholds. And this is how God's going to perfect the body of Christ in the last days. He's going to perfect us and cause us to be without spot and wrinkle because he's going to draw us to the realm that's already been completed. I know that's a big, heavy thing for someone who just started coming here. But if you listen to the teaching, you'll understand that he's been teaching us how to do this a long time. And thorough too. Amen?
So it's out of Exodus 33, and it's about Moses in verse 7, how he used to take his own tent, pitch it outside the camp, far away from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting for God. And then Amplified says, and with his own people, and everyone, not just Moses, who sought the Lord would go out to this tent of meeting. And so, and whenever Moses would enter the tent, the pillar cloud of glory would descend and the people would stand when they all, the pillar of glory would descend and the Lord would speak with Moses. When the people saw the pillar of the cloud of glory, they would all stand at their tent at the doorway and worship the Lord. And so what the Lord showed me, and I actually had put this in my notes when I wrote out this teaching about the glory. It reminded me of Pastor LaRue's prayer closet. And where he invites others to come in and to ascend into the glory. But the thing is about with Moses, one man seeking the face and the presence of God affected millions of people. All it takes is one. You and I can be that one that seeks the face of God until the glory of God comes and there's a realm and there's an atmosphere. And I want to give you just one short example of that atmosphere is when we went to the Crowned Conference. And Shaheen and I went with Anna. And we were roommates. Shaheen and I came back and we got sick. Anna didn't get sick. Yet we were all together. And what the Lord showed me is that every day they ascend and Pastor LaRue and Pastor Anna are speaking over their tent, over their bodies. No sickness shall dwell or come near us. And there was an invisible but visible realm in the spirit. So no sickness came near her. That is how powerful this realm is. And Moses, at the end of his days, I don't know, remember he was like 120 years old, and he ascends up a mountain, and it says, his eyes were not dim. His strength was not diminished. That is the glory realm. That's the transformational realm. And when he said that as you behold him in that glory, it's like Jacob when he had the dream and he put before him, the Lord told him to take the poplar tree that was striped and put it in the trough, before the trough, where the sheep would come up. And the sheep would look down to drink the water, see the reflection of the poplar trees that were streaked black and white. And they all started producing black and white sheep. Behold him in his glory, and we all will be transformed